Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Lord, keep your promise this morning that where your word goes forth, it will not return to you empty, but will accomplish that for which you sent it. Grant that that would be the case in our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. We also have a special prayer this morning, and I'd like to do that next, if we would. A prayer for August Gabbert, grandfather of Audrey Rundgren, who will be undergoing heart bypass surgery tomorrow. Would you please bow your head with me again? Gracious Father, we come before you on behalf of your servant August, and we pray that you would grant ability and confidence to those who provide him with medical care. According to your will, guide the hands of his surgeon, and then provide him with a recovery to good health. Above all else, strengthen his confidence in you and your gracious promises to work all things for the good of your faithful. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You've heard of Forrest Fenn, or maybe not, but he was a man who got rich after he retired from the Air Force in New Mexico, selling American Indian artifacts and also, I believe, some Middle Eastern artifacts. And he wasn't above selling some forged paintings now and then of famous artists like Monet and some others. But in 1988, Forrest was diagnosed with cancer and believed that he was going to die and die soon. And so he filled a small chest with about 40 pounds of gold nuggets and gold coins and emeralds and diamonds. About 40 pounds of these things, well, that were his riches that he had accumulated. And the value of that treasure chest was somewhere between $2 and $5 million. Fast forward 22 years, if you would, please. And in 2010, Forrest hadn't died yet. He was still alive. I guess something about his diagnosis was incorrect. But he was still alive. And for some strange reason, he had hoped to die with that chest beside him. Don't know why, but that's what he wanted to do. But by 2010, he had grown kind of weary of that thought, and he took his chest and he buried it somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, somewhere north of Santa Fe, New Mexico, in one of these four states, in case you're inclined to go look. It was either in New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, or Montana. So that narrows it down quite a bit there. And he wrote a book, and in the book he put a poem, and in the poem there are clues to the whereabouts of that treasure if you want to go seek that treasure. So far, according to Money Magazine, as of July, over 350,000 people had gone searching for that treasure. Several quit their jobs and moved out west, I mean, if they were in the east, or moved east if they were in the west, to be able to search for that treasure in their spare time. One of them was a gentleman of 54 years named Randy. 2 years ago, they found his body, his remains, along the Rio Grande. He had given his life searching for that treasure. He and at least three others have died while in the search for that treasure. It's amazing, isn't it, what people are willing to do for a treasure. Jesus, in our lesson for today, speaks of treasure, and he says this. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Those are the words of Jesus and our passage for this morning. It is striking what Jesus, at least to me, what Jesus doesn't say in this passage. You know what he doesn't say? What he doesn't say is what he means by treasure. Does he? He doesn't say it. He could have said, don't store up for yourselves money. He doesn't say that. He could have said, don't store up for yourselves gold or silver or diamonds, precious jewels. He doesn't say that either. Could have said something else that people treasure, like electronics. Don't store up for yourselves electronics. But then nobody would have known what he meant by that until just, what, the last 70 years or so. So he didn't say that. He could have said any of those things, but he doesn't specify what he means by treasure. And that's because that's unique to each person. You see, what is meant by treasure is what you mean by it in your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, he said. Now, there's a warning in this, isn't it, this passage? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, he says. You can tell the kinds of things that will tempt you in this way, the things that you might consider to be treasure, because once you begin to think about them, and when you consider acquiring them and that you might be able to get them, your heart quickens, doesn't it? The things that you consider treasure, doesn't it? And greed might very well begin to torment your mind when you think about those things. Whatever it is, or what is it, let's even ask, what is it that might tempt you to value it too highly and call it your treasure? For some, it's money, obviously, right? For others, it's not money itself, but it's what they can buy with money. That's their treasure. Some people place too much value on a car, a nice car, or an old jalopy, maybe, I don't know, but their car. For some, it is electronics. For some, it's a house or land, property of some kind. For others, it's jewelry. I don't know what it is for you. I have a clue what it is for me, some of these things. There's more than one. But it is foolish to accumulate these things that are earthly things, right? These treasures of earth. It is foolish to accumulate them for a couple of reasons. First off, because you will last longer than they will. Isn't that right? Jesus says there are things that will destroy them or steal them away from you. Not only that, even if when you get to 100, to be 100 years old, you still have them, you will not have them after you die. They will not go with you into the afterlife. And God says that you will live after this life. He says it's appointed unto man to once to die, but then after that comes something else. The judgment, he says. We will continue on. We will not cease to exist upon the death of this body. And it is virtually guaranteed that whatever thing it is that you place value on in this life will not go with you into the afterlife. And it will not stand there beside you when you stand before God. It will not be there to help you. Secondly, it's foolish to accumulate the things of this life for a purely practical reason, because when we do, when we set our minds on the things of this world, it begins to steal our joy. It takes over our thoughts, and we begin to worry over it and fret that we might lose it in one way or another. Isn't that true? By the way, can you think of one thing that you have worried over in this life that was worth the worry when all was said and done? I can't think of one thing. Now, Jesus not only tells us what not to do, that is, don't accumulate things in this life. Don't accumulate the treasures of this life. By the way, he's not saying don't accumulate your retirement income or things like that. What he's saying is don't treasure them. Don't make that the things that you value highly. He doesn't want us to be a bum and then live off the state, right, when we retire. But he also tells us then what to do, where to store our treasures. So we are to accumulate some treasures, just not the earthly kind, he says. Store up treasures in heaven where nothing can destroy it and no one can steal it. That's what he says. Now, that's an intriguing statement, isn't it? Store up treasures in heaven? What kind of treasure would that be? That I would own or that I would do that would actually make it past that border into heaven. Right? What would that be? Right? The old gospel song is actually true that says the only thing there that's been made by man are the scars in the hand of Jesus. Right? So what is it? The only thing fit for heaven are the things that God himself has made. And that means that these treasures that we're to store up for heaven are the treasures that God himself gives to us. Now, what on earth could that be? Well, it's certainly not the treasures that you can see with these eyes. It's not the kinds of things you might win on Wheel of Fortune. Now, these are far more valuable. These are things like peace, righteousness, godliness, joy, and self-control. You can see these lists of things several times throughout the New Testament, but they all have one thing in common. They are all centered in Jesus. Jesus himself. They come from him, and they begin with the forgiveness of sins that he purchased for you on the cross. Now think about this for a second. If God put such a high value on you, really, that he wanted to forgive your sins, if he put such a high value on the forgiveness of your sins that he would send his own son to live in this world and then die on the cross to take away those sins, shouldn't we put a high value on the forgiveness of our sins? Indeed, that is the real treasure. And he gives that freely to you and to me. You say, yeah, but you don't know what sins I've committed. Well, it doesn't matter because the blood of his son washes away every sin. And so I would end with this exhortation. Hold the things of this life loosely and hold on to Jesus tightly. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.